Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So, let's get into the Word. Are you ready to get into the Word? All right, let's go to Acts 2, verse number 17. It's kind of strange preaching after a reveal like that. It's okay though, we're going to get into it. Amen. I have a little bit of time. But let me just say this after mentioning what I did earlier on about the fact that we have not yet been raptured. Yet. Amen. And I say yet because we will one day when God is ready to take us. Okay, if you don't believe in the rapture, that's okay. You know, I do. Amen. Okay, and when I'm not here, you'll know that it was real. Amen. So, okay. So, the signs are very, very strong right now, guys. What's taking place on this planet is definitely God speaking. You know, I'm not saying God is the one doing the disasters, but God is speaking. All things work together for the good. Amen. God is busy speaking. The signs are very strong. Go read the Bible. Go read Matthew and you'll see everything that's taking place right now on the planet is in the Bible. And it's very clear that Jesus is busy speaking and he is coming soon. There's no doubt about that. But no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. We do not know when he's coming. And for anyone to go and say that they've calculated it, there's no way you can calculate that, okay? He comes when he wants to come, and that we don't know that. We know the season because we're prophetic, we hear God, we speak to God, we know that God is speaking, and we know that the signs are there. It's very clear. You don't have to be a prophet to know that. You just can tell that God is busy. Can you all say amen? Can you tell that something's going on this planet right now? Amen. So it's time for the church to wake up. Can you say amen? And I believe that that's busy taking place right now. Now, let's read that scripture. Let's put it up there. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. Now, this is actually Peter, and he's quoting the book of Joel on the day of Pentecost when he gives his sermon. And this prophecy is so powerful because it represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it represents it then and it represents it now. But the fulfillment of this prophecy, I believe, is busy taking place right now on the planet. I believe that right now God is going to pour out his spirit, and I'm going to say this so that you can understand me, on all flesh. On all flesh. So the opportunity to encounter him is going to be for all flesh. Okay, but not everyone will be touched. Not everyone will be changed. Not everyone will be prophesying. Not everyone will be seeing visions and dreams. Some people don't even believe in prophesying anymore. And that's what we need to talk about this morning. Amen. Let us go together all to the book of John, chapter number 9. John chapter number 9, verse number 1. Amen. This message is really not my normal style in the mornings. I normally teach, well, I will kind of be teaching this morning, but it's also a very prophetic message in the sense that I believe this is what God is saying right now to us as believers. And also a warning to those who are not believers, and certainly a warning to those who are, how do I say this in a nice way, who are very closed to the things of God. Let's just say that. And I'm going to show you in the story what I mean. Let's start then in John chapter number 9, verse number 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Who was blind from birth. Now, the reality is that as a believer, your eyes should have gone open. When we are not saved, our eyes, how many of you know, are definitely not open. When it comes to the things of God before we are saved, Every one of us are blind. But now we can see. Amen. We have been made born again. We are believers. We can see. But unfortunately, you know, even sometimes when we start to believe in the things of God and even believe in God, many of us stay in a blind state or in a state of like fuzziness, if you want to call it that, not seeing the big picture, not seeing the fullness, or seeing blurry, if you want to call it that. So, you know, it's very important, and you'll see today how important it is for us to step into the fullness of what God has for us. And we need our eyes to go open. The church right now, the church needs its eyes to be opened. Can you say amen? The non-believers need their eyes to go open. Can you say amen? And these are the groups that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be talking about the church. We're going to be talking about Christians that eyes are kind of a little dim. And we're going to be talking about the non-believer. So there's a lot of characters in the story, and I'm going to try my best to portray it in a way that you understand. Is that okay? All right. Now, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, it's a very good question. And for someone who does a lot of counseling, I do a lot of counseling, and many times we deal with the sins of the forefathers. Or you'll counsel someone and you'll see that there's an alcoholic problem, and you'll find that the father was an alcoholic and the grandfather was an alcoholic. Or you'll find that someone's born with a disease or something, and it's an hereditary disease. So many times that type of question is a good question to ask. So what I'm saying is that the disciples, this was not one of their bad moments. Amen. It was actually a very good question. Because when we counsel, and this is something that you can learn, when you counsel or speak to people, one of the things you always do is you look at, is it something that was in them that they did in the root? Was there a sin or an incident that took place that allowed this thing to take place in their life? Was it perhaps something that comes down the bloodline? The grandfather didn't get saved, so it comes down. It does. Trust me. I've had to deal with demons from grandparents before. Amen. Okay. So, it's very quiet. Come on, guys. All right. But now watch what Jesus says. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. That the works of God should be revealed in him. In other words, sometimes sin is not the issue. We look for the sin when we counsel. We look for the issue. But sometimes it might not be the case at all. Sometimes you might be going through something because God wants to reveal his power. God wants to reveal himself. God wants to reveal his plan. He wants to reveal his purposes through somebody's life. Maybe you're sitting here and you've gone through everything and you can't see what it is. You've prayed for your past. You've dealt with your past. You've dealt with the issues. You've forgiven everybody. But for some reason, the breakthrough just hasn't happened yet. Well, you might be that person that he wants to reveal his works through. You might be that one that he wants to reveal his plans through. And I believe right now there is a generation of people that God is about to do something very supernatural with. And then they will take what has been done with them, and I'm telling you, listen to me, they will literally change the world. You must understand, guys, the closer we get to the end, the darker it gets, but so the light begins to shine brighter than ever in the church, or so it should be. So the church now in this season must become a very bright light, must become very effective, must become razor sharp in their approach. Can you say amen? That's why I've been teaching you about no compromise. That's why I've been teaching you that it's time for us to stop looking for ways out or ways to excuse our shortcomings and stuff. Listen, you're a sinner just like me. And it's only by grace that I'm saved. Amen. But that doesn't give me an excuse to live in a bad way. Amen. I want to please him. I want to do the best I can for him. Why? Because I love him. Amen. Amen. Jesus answered, neither the man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, verse number 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Now, this is so prophetic, guys. The night is coming when no one can work. I don't know if you see it. There is a time where Jesus will no longer be on the earth. He is still here now. But the day is coming where there will only be night. There will only be darkness. And there will no longer, he will no longer be on this earth. Look at what he's saying. Look at it. It's so powerful. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now listen, what are you? You are his body. If you are his body, he is still here right now. In other words, you can still work the works of him who sent you. Can you say amen? If he sent Jesus, Jesus sent me. I'm operating on his behalf. The problem is, who sent you? On whose behalf are you operating? On what type of behalf are you operating? Are you operating in his power? Are you operating in his love? Or are you operating in your way? It's like I said earlier on, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Half the church doesn't believe in prophecy. Oh no, it ceased. That's impossible. When did God stop talking? He is speaking now. If his light is not in us, then there is no light in the world anymore. Now watch. Watch what happens. So Jesus is saying that he will reveal the works of God, the plans of God. Now, as I said, you must understand, no story in the Bible is by mistake. And you cannot for one second tell me that statement is not a prophetic statement. And he's not speaking right now about you. Listen, I know how to exegize the text as well. Amen. And this year I'm going to teach the first year group myself on discovering the Bible. I can do it. We can exegize. We'll go into every Greek and Hebrew word. I love it. I love it. Because what it does is it actually affirms that God is alive. That things are still happening. That he's still speaking. That he's still moving. That he's still breathing inside every single one of us. Amen. But you must also be able to see what he's saying now. Not change the context of the text, but what is God saying? Because if God doesn't speak, there is no such thing as rhema or revelation. Because when God speaks, it means that it's now alive. I don't want to get into that. Okay, but you get what I'm saying. Is that okay? Oh, sorry. I just love God, man. Amen. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors of those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Now you must understand that when you truly have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need you to listen carefully to me now. I'm talking about an encounter. When you encounter him, you see, many people in that day heard about him and believed about him. But not everybody encountered him. This man had encountered him. And after you encounter him, people will look at you and say, is that guy the same guy? Or is he somebody else? I'm looking at him, but I don't recognize him anymore. Because something changes in you. You see, when Jesus is living inside you, you can't be the same anymore. Something changes. It's not this he who sat and begged. And some said, this is he. Others said, he looks like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? Now watch. And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received sight. The question is, will we be that generation that believes the things that Jesus has said to us? You see, Jesus said that I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That means we need to be baptized, guys, with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's what it says. Jesus said, go make disciples. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Jesus said, lay down your life. These are things we don't want to talk about in church anymore. But if he said it, we need to do it. And if we do it, the results will come. This man listened. Listen, if some dude walks up to me, spits on the ground, rubs my eyes and says, go wash, I'm going to look at him and say, are you on something, brother? But you've got to understand, when you encounter Jesus, when you encounter the presence of God, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, when you encounter him, not just in word or in a book, when you meet the person, when you have that encounter, you must understand, he can rub saliva in your eyes, he can spit on your face. It doesn't matter whether the guy's wearing earrings or a nose ring. It doesn't matter what he looks like, sounds like, how high he is, how fat he is, how short he is. It doesn't matter. There's something different about this person standing in front of you. The question is, are you going to be that person? Are you going to be his hands and his feet? Are you going to be his voice in the world right now that will be able to give the word, that will be able to speak the word, and something will happen? Are you getting me? Okay. All right. So now this guy, his life has completely changed, but it took a step of obedience and listening to what's in the word. I've overiterated over the last few weeks, and I'm going to say it again this morning. Listen to me. Let's stop the law, not the law. Let's stop all that. Let's be obedient to God. Let's be obedient to his voice, and his commandments are not that hard to believe. There's two that you need to know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do those two things, I promise you, you don't even need to think about the others. Because everything changes when you start to live that way. Everything changes when you focus on those two things. When you focus on him and you focus on not living a selfish life, everything changes. You stop thinking about your sins and your weaknesses and your shortcomings. Everything changes. Amen. All right. A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. That obedience is so critical. So then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. And they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees, to the religious people, to those who have not changed. Like Stephen said, you are just like your forefathers. You still resist the Holy Spirit. So the Pharisees resisted Jesus when he was here in the flesh. And listen, religious people will reject you. They will not accept what you say because you look a little different. You sound a little different. You're a little bit dangerous. You're a little bit risky. You don't do things normal. You don't care what they say about you. They can criticize you. They can cut you down. They can speak evil of you. But you don't care about that anymore. You stay focused on the goal. You stay focused on him. And while they're busy talking and they're busy having a lot to say, you're busy laying hands on the sick and they are recovering. You're busy laying hands on the blind and they're beginning to see. You're beginning to cast out demons and they have a lot to say about everything. Have a seat. Thank you, guys. You see, that's the religious people. They don't recognize the hour of their visitation. So let's see what happens. So they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight. Now they already know, believe me. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. Now watch this. It's just, I love this. It's so good. Jesus is amazing. Watch this. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how, it's amazing how that again is overemphasized, how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and washed, and I see. I like the guy's description. It's not very detailed. It's kind of like, why are you asking me this? You already know. Okay? He put clay on my eyes. I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, he's speaking about Jesus. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Amazing how they criticize. And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. Now, watch what the guy says. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Now they're doing what everybody does when they hear about a miracle. Oh, you know, it wasn't really a miracle. Oh, you know, it just, you know, it wasn't real, you know. That's a Pharisee right there. That he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is your son, who you say was born blind, how then does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Of course we know, you know. And that he was blind. In other words, you can't deny it. Now I want to say something right here. Because I feel like God is speaking to some parents that are here this morning. His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Now, I need to speak specifically now to parents. You have to lead the way with your children. Religion is not going to change them. They need an encounter with God. They need an encounter with Jesus. But the word of the Lord this morning for you, and if you take it, you take it. If you don't, it's your own fault. But God is about to encounter our children. Listen to me. I can tell you now that this generation, if you look to the left, right over there, all those young people, most of them were bad 6 months ago. Most of them. Now they are so on fire for God because they encountered Jesus. They encountered his love. They encountered his presence. They are hungry and thirsty for him. And I prophesy this morning concerning your children that they may be blind right now, but they will see. And even you will no longer be able to deny that Jesus Christ is risen and his power lives inside of us, every single one of us. And it is time that we open our eyes and see that he is still breathing and living and moving on this planet right now. Can you say amen? Is there one parent here this morning that says, I take this for myself? Is there one parent that says, this is my word? Then it's yours. It's yours in Jesus' name. Amen. How can you say that? How can you say that? How can you say that it's theirs? Well, listen, how can you say you're saved? Because it was written then in the context of the text then. Now it's for now. Don't try and do that. God speaks constantly. It's every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds, not preceded from the mouth of God. In other words, God still speaks right now. God is still speaking right now. Amen. Through his word. Is that okay? Amen. It's so funny how the services are so different. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. And his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. So in other words, they're trying to say, don't give Jesus the, you know, you must give God the glory. Because now they can't deny the fact that a miracle has really taken place. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. You see, tradition and religion will not change your children, will not change your life. A relationship, an encounter with God is what will change you. That's the only thing that will change you. Not what he said, what he's saying. His word comes alive. It becomes alive in you. It begins to affect you. It begins to change you. You begin to be transformed into his image because you are encountering him. Listen, not Krishna, not Muhammad, not Buddha, doesn't matter who it is. There's only one Jesus, and he's the only one that can change your life. Listen, you can try it. Try it. It won't change you. It won't change you. It won't change you from the inside out. But when you encounter Jesus, not a religious person, when you encounter someone who can let go, who can finally say, all right, I don't know it all. Now, Lord, in this moment of me realizing I know very little, please show me your glory. Show me your love. And you know what? He always does. Because that's just how he is. He's so awesome. He's so loving. Amen. Are you guys okay? One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. That encounter will change your life forever. Then they said to him again, again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now watch. And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Because it doesn't fit in with their religious perceptions. It doesn't fit in with the box. It doesn't fit in with what they want. It doesn't make any sense. You see, when God begins to move, it may not make 100% sense to you. It may not fit in with your theology. And this is hard for us to understand. And this is hard for us to grasp. But listen, God is going to do it his way. And you will stay the same forever. If you don't change your mind. Amen. Okay. Oh God, I love you. And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? Now they're upset. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Listen to me. The church must encounter God in the fullness of what he has for us, not only a portion of it. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is a confession. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will be saved. And it's simple. But there's so much more. I don't want to be a defeated Christian. I want to be a Christian that walks in His love, in His power, in His abundance. Oh, let me behave. Okay. Not yet. Amen. Verse 28, then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Now watch how this blind man who was a beggar begins to speak to these religious people." This is incredible. Watch the Holy Spirit begin to work. Watch this. "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." Now I need you to pay attention right here, because what have we been talking about? We've been talking about how God is looking for the true worshipers. And those who are worshipers and those who are obedient, the ones who does His will, are the ones who He hears and who hears Him. Can you say amen, somebody? This coming from an uneducated beggar, someone who couldn't see from birth, is busy telling the religious teachers who know the word, who know the Torah, and can recite it off by heart. He hears him. "Since the world began, and it has been unheard of the since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us?" Look how they criticize. And they cast him out. They've had enough of him. Now watch Jesus. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord?" With a capital L. In other words, who is he, Lord? Recognizing who he is, but not being 100% sure, because you've got to understand, this guy's theology has just been rocked. But somehow he knows that what's in this person standing before him is not normal. And so even in his profession of who is he, or who you are, or who, he recognizes who Jesus is. Now watch. Are you guys okay? "That I may believe." He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? That I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And he worshiped him. You see, when you truly encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and you have that encounter with him that transforms and changes your life, worship comes naturally. It's easy to worship God when you've met him. It's easy to worship the Lord when you've encountered him. When you haven't, you'll always stand in a worship service with arms folded, because you don't know him. You don't know. You haven't really understood what he's done for you yet. You haven't comprehended the fullness of what grace really is. You don't recognize the price that was paid when his blood spilled on that cross and he saved all of mankind. You don't recognize it yet. You see, once you encounter that grace, that love, that mercy, and it hits you like a wave of liquid love, that's the only way I can explain it. You can't anymore but fall down on your face and begin to worship Him. And it doesn't matter who's looking. It doesn't matter who's around you. It doesn't matter what your reputation is. It doesn't matter if it's your boss, your mother, your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your girlfriend, your whoever. You don't care, because you've just recognized that the living God is standing in front of you and encountered you, and you can never be the same again. Then Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, that those who see may be made blind." And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also? If the shoe fits, brother." And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." In other words, the truth is standing right in front of you, but you can't see it because you're so puffed up in your theology and what you believe that it overpowers God come in the flesh, who now has been sent, and Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to be with you, and you reject Him always. And He so desperately wants to change your life. He so desperately wants to encounter you. Listen, the presence of God is here this morning. His presence is here right now, and some people's lives are going to change this morning forever. Forever. Forever you will be changed this morning. All you have to do is make a decision. I don't even want to read anymore. Because right now in this place, can we all bow our heads for just a moment? The presence of God is here. His presence is here this morning. Don't be like one of those Pharisees. Make a decision this morning. I don't know if how long you've served God. There are people here that you may never have served the Lord. You may never have given your life to Him. I can tell you this morning, there's only one way, and that is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. This morning, if you say, "Pastor Alex, I want to give my life to Him. I want to be like that blind man who was blind, but now I want to see." If that's you and you say, "I want to give my heart to Him. I want to give my life to Him." Nobody look around right now. Please lift your hand and I'll pray for you. Lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, man. Anybody else, say, "Pastor Alex, include me." Thank you, sir. I see that hand. You can put your hands down once I've seen it. Thank you so much. Anybody else, say, "Pastor, include me in this prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I've had enough of this world. I've had enough of this world. I want to give my heart to Him." If there's anybody else, say, "Thank you, sir." You can put your hand down. Thank you so much, young man. Your life is going to change. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. I see that hand. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today, Lord, I give my life to You. If you're in this place and you say, "Pastor Alex, I've served God, I've walked with Him, but I think my eyes have been blinded. But this morning, my eyes are going open and I want to commit my heart to Him. I want to give all that I am to Him this morning. I want Him to come and encounter me this morning." If that's you, lift your hand and I'll include you. Oh my, there goes the hands all over. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much, all of you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, young man. I see your hand. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else, say, "Pastor, include me in this prayer this morning." Thank you so much, guys. If I can ask all of us to just stand for a moment, please. So many people that raised their hands this morning. So many people raised their hands this morning. And this morning, we're going to pray this prayer together. And this morning when we pray this prayer, guys, even if you've prayed it 1,000 times, pray it from the bottom of your heart. And for those of you that lifted your hands, pray this prayer this morning, not just with your mouth or with your head, pray it from your heart. And I can assure you, your life will never be the same again. Let's pray together. Father, I come to You this morning and I lay my life down. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Forgive me my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me a new creation. In Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and encounter me this morning with your presence, with your love, with your mercy, with your grace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I am a new creation. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Now, before we close, those of you that made this decision this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. Just a short window, just quick. We're not going to do even the whole song. But let's have a moment where we can just lift our hands, lift our voices, and thank Him and worship Him. Because how many of you know He is worthy of our worship? So let's do it together this morning, just for 1 minute. Let's just worship Him for 1 minute together. Go ahead, go.
Show me your glory.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Show me.
So, Father, in this place this morning, we confess you as Lord of our lives, and we know that we are still alive because of you. Thank you for the breath in our lungs. Thank you for our life. Thank you for giving us a hope and a future, a purpose, a destiny, a plan that you have for us. And Father, this morning, don't let us leave here the same. But let us look to you always now, the lover of our soul. You are the lover of our soul. We love you so much. We're so thankful to you this morning in this place. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. And we worship you. We praise you. We adore you. Thank you for what you've done this morning. All the glory, all the honor and all the praise belongs to you in Jesus' precious name. Let's give Him a clap, guys. Amen. Let's give Him a shout and a clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Go in the peace of God and He will bless you and keep you today. Come back tonight. We're going to have a great time with tonight. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and some stuff tonight that I think you'll enjoy. And then we'll see what God does. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.